This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hi, welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. My name is Matthew Wai and I'm a journalist at the Financial Standard team. As we're approaching the end of the year, it's always interesting to review how each asset class is doing. In terms of Australian equities, many investors may be shifting their focus back towards domestic companies as geopolitical tension continues to rise. Or many may simply find more value in the local market. Today we have ECP Asset Management Portfolio Manager Andrew Dale to discuss the year in review for Australian equities. Thank you for being with us, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
So, Andrew, how did the asset class perform in 2025 and how did it do compared to the previous year?
Yeah, look, it's interesting to hear you say people focusing back on domestic, because I think at the beginning of the year, there was already a bit of a focus on that. But broadly speaking, the year's been hard. Okay, so the market's kind of roughly flat, maybe up or down 1%, depending on the different category within. But, you know, really you've had to pick through the individual components of the market to properly understand how it's performed. And if you look at sort of the big outperformers, resources, in particular gold, have had a very large impact on performance for the year. And you've had some technology companies performing well. And then you've had sort of what we call sort of low quality companies. Now, that doesn't mean they're not good companies. It just means that from a financial perspective, they might be higher gearing. Maybe they don't have real earnings right now. Maybe it's longer duration growth sort of companies. They've performed quite well too. Whereas high quality growth, which is an area I focus on, that has been quite a big underperformer. And I think that's because investors have sort of looked for different things, or they've been chasing ideas and there's a fair bit of momentum. And that's meant that those traditionally high quality companies have sort of lagged. And, you know, I think that if you look at that compared to previous years, they've been really good performers. So it's a little bit of reversion happening as well. But, you know, overall, I would say for most fund managers, it's been a really challenging year and one we're looking forward to getting to the end of.
So I believe, you know, at ECP Asset Management, you guys would have had an outlook early this year as well. Do you think what's happening right now is aligned to what you guys perceive the year would be?
Yeah, look, I think at ECP, we try to sort of actually detach ourselves a little bit from that macro view, because the one thing I can tell you, having done this for 25, 30 years, is I will always get wrong the macro calls, right? Where interest rates are going, where unemployment, where US market, resources. I spent 10 years in China, you know, trying to predict the iron ore price. I can tell you now, it was a very difficult task. So when it comes to those sort of expectations and macro sort of views, we try to step back a little bit. And what we really focus on is bottom-up company analysis. So we're looking at companies that are in really good market positions, really good market shares, good financial metrics, really strong competitive advantages. And we try to focus on that because we feel that those companies will outperform over the medium to longer term, regardless of the macro conditions. So I think that's a really important point for investors to focus on. And it's all about growing economic footprints and, you know, seeing and sort of staying a little bit away from those momentum trades, which it's great to get on them. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's had a personal investment strategy where they've jumped on stocks like, say, DroneShield, where, you know, you can get on a stock and it can go up 200, 300, 400%. But the reality of life is you have to focus back on fundamentals and bottom-up analysis.
So, you know, when we're talking about, you mentioned, you know, resources technology was some quite good performers throughout the year. So do you mind going in more details, like how, like why, the reasons why they were outperforming, you know, this year? And also, I find it interesting that you mentioned about, you know, some of the lower quality, which, you know, not necessarily like, you know, worse companies, but can you describe like why they're defined in that definition?
Yeah. So firstly, in terms of, you know, why resources and technology, I think if you look at resources, it's kind of, it's a bit of a simple one. It was heavily skewed by gold. Gold price this year, we are all aware of the rapid incline to over $4,000 an ounce. And, you know, that is, you know, if you're a gold equities company, that is just like a slam dunk. It drops straight through to the bottom line. So investors are right in buying those companies because they will generate really good returns over the near term. The gold price itself, honestly, it's, you know, even though you probably wouldn't have predicted $4,000 an ounce, when you do a back check of why it's there, it's not an unreasonable sort of situation at the moment. Does it go further? Look, possibly, but I think 4,000 feels okay at the moment. Having said that, it'll probably collapse. But anyway, it's been a real driver, though, of a series of equities. And then if you then, so you've got a whole bunch of gold stocks that have driven, you know, performance, whether it's in the top 50 or the X50, then you've got sort of more broader resources. Now, you've got to be a little bit more choosy here because there've been rallies and bear components to any individual resource. So you've had lithium, which has had highs and lows. You've had copper, which has been the same. You've had iron ore, which has been relatively stable. But in a general sense, those companies tend to be what we call, you know, sort of deep cyclicals. So when there's a movement in prices, which tend to be driven more by supply side issues or something other than demand. So demand itself is not all of a sudden going astronomically high. It's supply side fundamentals that are driving this. And you do see equities rally and they're very momentum driven. And that's been a real driver of the market in the near term. Technology, that's been really more about let's find the next sort of good ideas as opposed to the ones that we know are good. So traditionally in the technology space and stocks that have underperformed quite a lot have been things like WiseTech, maybe even the realestate.coms or Seeks or Castles, not traditional, you know, not performing the traditional levels. You've seen people chase things like 360 or even some of the medical tech stuff. So that's been investors searching for the next idea. If you then focus on, you know, some of the other areas, I think, like I said before, that mainstream high-quality growth that everyone knows about, it's kind of just sat on the bench a bit. Like people, they'll come back to it. There's no doubt those stocks will outperform at some point. But right now, they're just sort of a little bit to the side. So this year, we've also had a series of stock-specific underperformers. So if you look at some really notable ones, you've had CSL, you've had James Hardie, which have both been very notable underperformers for very company-specific reasons. Now, CSL, for example, you know, super high-quality company, still got lots of opportunities for growth and still continues to look good on a medium to long term. However, in the short term, they've had issues associated with some of their divisions, maybe a little bit of question marks in terms of guidance for market. The market's had to rebase its expectations, and it's just kind of lost a bit of that. It's a bit lackluster compared to what it has been previously. So as a result, markets had to, you know, it's been sort of rotating in and out of that name, and we're yet to find a real sort of floor and sort of focus on where that goes for a medium term. I believe medium term, it's still a really good opportunity for investors. If you look at James Hardie, most people would be aware of what's gone on there in the past 12 months. Clearly, they've done a very large transaction, which really split the market in terms of people's views. Lots of emotions running wild on that stock. You know, it has been a very long performing company, a really high quality business that a lot of Australian investors have been very happy to own. When US management steps in and they start to do things and perhaps they don't get the right shareholder buy-in or approval, or perhaps they don't communicate properly with shareholders, you've seen sort of really big impacts to stock price. And that's suffered from that lack of communication with its shareholders. But again, high quality business that will outperform on a medium to long term. And then you've just had, as I keep going back to, this high quality, like healthcare has been a great example. Healthcare, whether it's ResMed, Cochlear, Fisher & Paykel, we've already talked about CSL, all very high quality businesses, really good returns, good return on equity in that 20 to 30% range. However, underperformed. Why is that? Just hasn't been something that's sexy that people want to look at right now. Again, we'll come back. So you've got to have faith.
Absolutely. So, you know, we mentioned about geopolitics earlier. And, you know, how much does that actually play into Australian equities? Like, because as you mentioned as well, like, you know, maybe we have some foreign owners coming in to, you know, acquire some of these local companies. Like, how would that play out?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously macro and geopolitics affects all markets. And it depends on how much. Australia's been a little bit lucky in terms of this tariff discussions out of the US, which has been probably one of the really big headline stories. Even if you look at geopolitical uncertainty and unrest in war areas, not really, you know, affecting Australia directly. We're a little bit sort of, you know, independent of all that. So even though it does affect markets and people do look at them, we've sort of been able to take a back step a little bit. If you look at inflationary pressures, perhaps that's one area which is extended into Australia and something that we're still very much dealing with. And interest rates now, you know, interest rates have had a couple of cuts, but frankly, Don't see, you know, more cuts coming in the near term. I think that inflation is a long-term persistent problem, and that is likely to continue and will continue to come through in the Aussie market. But I think in these environments, you've really had to think about how do you position a portfolio. And if you look at the ASX 50 in particular, for a good portion of this year, stocks that outperformed were the ones that were like, well, I like to call them household names, predominantly domestic. Now, what I mean by household names, I kind of joke. If you went and saw your mum or dad and asked them to pick, you know, 10 stocks out of the ASX 50, they'd be things like CBAs and ANZs, Westpac, Qantas, Telstra, Wesfarmers, you know, names that we all know, and they tend to be more domestically focused. They've been a real gravity for people. They're really focused on, and not only that, as you mentioned, big offshore investors, you know, some of the really, really big trillion dollar funds have looked for safe havens out of North America where there is a natural capital outflow at the moment, given some of the uncertainty, and they're bought into some stocks here in Australia. And they tend to be the large ones. So they have to have large market caps. So CBA and some of the other banks have been real beneficiaries of that.
So I want to talk about, like, you know, what's the investor sentiment, you know, domestically into like Australian equities? Like, has it been bullish, you know, over the past 12 months, or do you think it's been, you know, a little bit bearish?
Well, look, I think sentiment's been really mixed, to be honest. I think probably in the first half of the year, it was relatively positive and there was more interest in names. Valuations have been stretched, so it's been more of a safe haven style thought process. I think you've had in the middle of the year and towards probably towards the back half, real speculation sort of sentiment, you know, people wanting to jump on board stocks that are moving rapidly. You've seen some names there in the resources space, which are up, you know, 100, 200%. You've seen some of these stocks like, you know, 360 and Drone Shield that have been very much in the press, which have really rallied. So you've sort of had people wanting to get into it, a bit of a FOMO, fear of missing out, sort of wanting to chase some of the rally. But I think now it's pump the brakes. It's like, hang on a minute, things are sort of looking a bit uncertain. In fact, even this week, we've had a couple of consumer names come out and have released sort of really weak data, which has got me thinking maybe the consumer is rolling a little bit. We're going into Black Friday, which can sometimes cause a dislocation in terms of data and when people go to buy things. But I think generally now that interest rates appear to be on sort of largely on hold, investors are sort of like, you know, because if you go back to the beginning of the year, we're in a rate decreasing environment. Rate decreasing environment's great. People are, you know, a little bit more money, feeling a little bit better. House prices are still going up. Hey, we're going to get out there and buy and we might invest as well. Now I think, hang on, we're going into the back of the year, a little bit more uncertainty. I think sentiment's actually coming off.
So, you know, we talked about consumer a little bit and, you know, for retail investors specifically, you know, the ETF market here has been off the roof.
Mm.
So how has that, like, you know, contribute to investment in Australian equities?
Yeah, well, look, ETFs, it's a big topic and big discussion. And, you know, as an active manager, it's always a really challenging thing to look at. But the harsh reality of ETFs are is they provide people with easy, cheap solutions to get exposure to different parts of the market. And wealth managers themselves, which tend to push a lot of different products, whether it be active or ETF or passive products, tend to focus on things that are a little bit more simpler to explain to their client, which may not be as sophisticated or understand more broader markets. And I think they've had a really interesting and relevant space in the market. So they have sucked up a lot of capital in these sorts of environments. They tend to be a little bit better for investors because it's, you know, you're not sure where it's going. I'll get exposure through that. We know for a fact, though, that if you look at active management, which is what I'm exposed to and what our firm does, active management will deliver you better returns over the long term, right? But, you know, it just depends on what the actual underlying investor wants. So a lot of retail investors want exposure to the market, whether it be Australia or global. And they're kind of happy with the market return. It's just that for us, we're looking to deliver better returns for our clients. And that's why we think we still have a really relevant place in the market. But ETFs are here. They're here to stay. And they're going to continue to play a big part.
Those are all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much for your time, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.